Hello, and welcome to the Thursday, August 25th edition of KTOO's very own Juno Afternoon. We've got a great show. We've got people from UIS talking about their career and tech programs. We'll learn about tango lessons. We'll get details about the Juno Symphony Whale Watch Cruise and Arts Up. We always end with Arts Up, what's going on this weekend. So stay tuned, all that and more.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The chairman of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe says companies and the federal government cannot ignore tribes. Dave Archambault made the statement Wednesday after a court hearing in Washington, D.C. involving the tribe's request to stop the Dakota Access Pipeline from being built. The chairman says the tribe is seeking to protect water and sacred sites. The tribe filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in July, challenging permits for the project. Supporters of the tribe demonstrated outside federal court Wednesday, voicing opposition to the oil pipeline. Construction at a site near the tribe's reservation in North Dakota was recently halted. A court decision on the tribe's request is expected in September. The four tribes of Kansas focused on health issues this week at a summit on the Prairie Band Potawatomi Reservation. Local, regional, and national experts gathered to discuss health issues impacting people in Indian country. Rhonda Lovaldo has more.
In their fourth year, the Kansas Tribal Health Summit has educated tribal citizens about health and what plans they can do in their own communities. Summit organizer Dr. Deanne DeRoyne says she sees a difference in tribal members being proactive in their well-being.
There's been a really positive direction in people taking more responsibility for their health, eating better, exercising more. And that also is from the support of our partners, you know, the AARP Diabetes Cooking Class, Sunflower helping build walking trails.
Julia Soap, Prairie Band Potawatomi tribal member, presented at the summit to help attendees understand why they want statistics about health from tribes, hoping to break down any mistrust.
We did have a lot of good discussions on what is allowed to be shared and what's not allowed to be shared. I think the tribes here in Kansas are still trying to figure out what they're comfortable with sharing. As far as data sovereignty, though, you do want to have access to your data, so you do want that information shared, and you want your tribal health directors and tribal council members to have access to that data, so you can't be too restrictive with it.
Topics included mental health, elder issues, substance abuse, to healthy lifestyles. This is Rhonda Lovaldo for National Native News.
Two Lakota people are among this year's recipients of the National Artist Fellowship. As Jim Kent reports, 16 artists in five categories are selected for the honor each year from Native communities.
The Native Arts and Cultures Foundation supports the vision, creativity, and innovation of Native artists in a variety of disciplines. Chinupa Hanska-Luger was born on the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation and grew up drawing, yet he describes himself not as an artist, but as a maker. Chinupa explores his creativity through painting, sculpture, music, film, and anything else that offers him the opportunity to acquire greater artistic skills. He plans to use the money from his fellowship to fund a project that's already in progress called Everything Anywhere, made of ceramic, steel, and fibers.
So this piece is a large head, and it talks about kind of like matriarchy and this Mother Nature kind of form. And so it's this big disembodied head that sits in this room, and her hair is made out of all of these different fibers, and it rolls out across the room and around and kind of envelops you.
Cheyenne River Sioux Tribal member Teoxin Ghost Horse is a musician, radio host, and international speaker on peace, indigenous beliefs, and Mother Earth.
And often bring the urgency of climate change. And I speak not on behalf of anyone except my ideas about peace with Earth rather than peace on Earth.
In addition to Teoxin Ghost Horse and Chinupa Hanska-Luger, the Native Arts and Cultures Foundation has supported 180 artists and organizations since its fellowship was created. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, and by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
The Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes the 3rd Annual Southwest Native American Veterans Association September 22nd through the 24th. Information on convention and tourism services at siabq.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
It is 5 minutes past the hour. It is Thursday, August 25th. This is Juno Afternoon coming at you from Alaska's capital city and the KTOO studios. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. And as far as the weather right now, it is 63 at the airport, 64 downtown, and 59 in the Mendenhall Valley. And if you're in Douglas, it's 63 as well, just like the airport. We're looking at patchy fog. We've got rain tonight. We've got rain tomorrow. It looks highs in the mid-60s and then low in the 50s at night. And we're looking at rain, but Saturday is looking sunny, high in the mid-70s, east winds to 15 miles per hour. So that looks pretty good. A little rain and then maybe some sun on Saturday. So here we are. We kick off our Thursday show. Typically, we start with someone from UAS, University of Alaska Southeast, our very own university here in Juneau, right out the road. And today we have Pete Traxler. He's the Executive Dean of Career and Technical Education, and he's here to talk about what's happening this semester. Welcome to the show, Pete.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is really exciting.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming down. So let's first start with the tech center physically. So are you part of the Out the Road campus, or are you closer to town?
Yeah, so we have a separate building. Even though we work with the main campus, we have a separate building downtown. It's right across from high school on the water side. It was built in 1983. We've newly renovated it in the last 3 years, and we do all of our technical training there.
Okay. And the career and technical programs at UAS, it's an associate's program, and also so you can matriculate to get an associate's degree or you could just take classes
yeah,
as needed.
That's right. Yep. So we have a wide variety of students that take our classes. We have some students that are, we call them lifelong learners. They're just looking for to gain some more skills, whether they have a boat in the harbor or they have a piece of machinery they want to work on or they care a little bit about their health. We also have students that are what we call occupational endorsement students, and that's usually a student that's a year or less. So they want to get some type of certificate in a year or less, and they want to go to work. And then we also have an associate's degree.
Okay. Let's unpack all of that. Let's talk about that occupational
endorsement. Yeah.
Endorsement. So the one-year programs where they get a skill, and then they're more marketable.
Yeah.
In the job market. What kind of programs do you offer there?
So we offer a wide variety in those. We offer like a CNA occupational endorsement, would get you state certified. It's 9 credits. It's usually done in one semester.
What does that acronym stand for?
Oh, I'm sorry. Certified Nurse Assistant. You typically see those folks that work in the hospitals and the nursing home and the doctor's office. Yeah.
Okay. So that's a one-year program. And any others?
Yeah, that's a 9-credit program done one semester. So you can get that done in as little as 3 or 4 months.
Great.
We have different occupational endorsements in mine mechanic. We have them in construction technology. We have them in welding. So quite a few different ones. They're usually a year less, so 29 credits or less, and usually a student can finish them in a year.
Okay. And then what is that? An associate's program is typically 2 years, and what kind of programs do you have?
Yeah, so an associate's program is usually 2 years long, usually around 60 credits, maybe a few more than 60 credits. And what it is it includes a general education requirement, which is a math and English communications, as well as the trade-based program classes.
Okay, and the trade-based are similar to what you just talked about?
Yeah, so we do 5 different ones, so I have different programs, big programs that we do. One is construction. One is mining, one is power technology, which is really like diesel mechanics. We also do our health sciences, which a lot of students can go in a lot of different directions with health sciences. They can choose to be a CNA, an EMT. They can go on to work on their associates in their nursing for an RN. So, yeah, we have we have those.
Okay. So those are your matriculated courses, but mm-hmm. also you have people, you, I know, I think you partner with the construction contractors as far as continuing it.
Yeah, we live and die by our partnerships. So we do quite a few partners where we partner with Juneau Housing Trust, and we're actually right now our construction program is building a house, and what it is, it's a home that we're using students or having students work on in order to build an affordable home for Juneau that's energy efficient and it's sold to a qualified home buyer. So that's a great partnership. We partnership with the high school on that as well as the Juneau Housing Trust. We also partner with our local industry. So we partner with Greens Creek Mine, with Kensington Mine, in order to scholarship students, in order to make sure that the student has something when they're done so that they can get employed. So it's really about employment is what the goal is.
Yeah, that sounds great. And then your semester starts on Monday.
It does, correct. Yep, our semester starts on Monday, but there's still time to register, so we're still accepting students into classes. Typically, our students come in the last week right before classes, so it's not too late. And if you haven't signed up yet, there's still time and you're not alone. So.
All right. And I see the sheet of offerings, and it's too lengthy to go into here, but they could just check that out at the UAS.
Right, so they're all available. You can look at all of our courses that are available online. And the registration forms are all online. So everything that you need to do, you can do online.
Okay. And then if somebody's listening and they have questions, is there a number that they could call to talk to you?
Yeah, general line number would be 796-6139. That would be a great number to reach.
And then I was just wondering, does the university also have placement services?
Yeah, so we have a whole office that deals with placement to try to get students placed. We typically find that in the trades, our students are actually employed before they graduate. So we have great partnerships with industry. They're really energetic and excited to learn more about our students and have our students be employed. And a lot of our programs require internships, and that's where students get their start. So, yeah. Lots of ways to connect with industry.
That sounds great. Employed. That sounds like a great partnership and a great opportunity for everybody, for people who are looking for employees and people who are looking to get gainful employment, get some skills.
Absolutely. That's why the university is here, to serve our community. So that's what we're trying to do.
That sounds great. If you're just joining us, that's Pete Trexler talking. He is running the Career and Tech Education Program at UAS. Fall semester starts on Monday, and if you're interested, check it out online. If you have any questions, you could call the main line, 796-6100. And thanks for all you do for our community.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks
really
for
fun.
Dropping by. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 25th of August, 2016. It's the birthday of the novelist Brian Moore, born Belfast, 1921, a man who Graham Greene once called my favorite living author. He said each book of his is dangerous, unpredictable, and amusing. Brian Moore, one of nine children born into a devout Catholic family, quickly rejected Catholicism as he grew up, but continued writing about it for most of the rest of his life. He was a newspaper man for a while and then took up writing novels. His first one came out in 1955, The Lonely Passion of Judith Hearn. He moved to New York and in 1966 moved to California, where he remained for the rest of his life, wrote more novels, wrote screenplays as well, including the screenplay for the Alfred Hitchcock movie Torn Curtain. Brian Moore, who when he died in 1999, his obituary in the paper began, "The most accomplished and least fashionable writer in Los Angeles, died last week." It's the birthday of the poet Charles Wright, born Pickwick Dam, Tennessee, 1935. His father was a civil engineer for the Tennessee Valley Authority. He was a bookish kid in high school, read all of William Faulkner by the time he graduated, served 4 years in the U.S. Army, stationed in Italy, where he discovered the cantos of Ezra Pound, and he began writing poetry. Charles Wright, who said, "Without language, there is no poetry. Without poetry, there's just talk. Talk is cheap, and proves nothing. Poetry is dear and difficult to come by, but it poles us across the river and puts music in our ears. And it was on this day, 100 years ago, 1916, President Woodrow Wilson signed into law the act that established the National Park Service. There already were national parks. Yellowstone had been designated as such in 1872. By the 1890s, there were three more, Yosemite, Sequoia, and Kings Canyon, which then was called General Grant National Park. But there was no government agency to protect the national parks. The Army got the job at first, but had no power to enforce laws. Department of Agriculture tried to, the Department of the Interior, but no one was really doing the job until 1916, on this day, when the National Park Service came into being. Here's a poem by Charles Wright on his birthday entitled Ars Poetica II. I find, after all these years, I am a believer. I believe what the thunder and lightning have to say. I believe that dreams are real, and that death has two reprisals. I believe that dead leaves and black water fill my heart. I shall die like a cloud, beautiful, white, full of nothingness. The night sky is an ideogram, a code card punched with holes. It thinks it's the word of what's to come. It thinks this, but it's only the library of last resort, the reflected light of the great misunderstanding. God is the fire my feet are held to. A poem by Charles Wright, Ars Poetica II from Appalachia, published by Ferrer, Strauss, and Giroux, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can subscribe to the Poetry Magazine podcast and the Poetry Off the Shelf podcast in the iTunes Store, or listen at poetryfoundation.org. And by Lumosity, with a 10-minute fit test to calculate baseline scores and training programs with 50 challenging brain games. Learn more at lumosity.com. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Discover the Neverland you never knew in Peter and the Starcatcher, beginning August 16th at Perseverance Theatre. In this wacky comedy filled with music and magic, learn the story behind the story of Peter Pan. Discover how the captain got his hook, the crocodile his TikTok, and meet Molly Astor, the adventurous young girl who not only saves the world, but helps an orphan boy become the flying hero we all love. For information or tickets, go to ptalaska.org or call our box office at 463-TIXS or visit the Jack.
Thank you for sharing your day with us at KTLO. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. It's 18 minutes past the hour, and it is 56 in Alaska's capital city. Our next guests are here to talk about a very special event that's going to happen for the next two weekends. It's an Argentine tango workshop. So we have Junoite Frank Bergstrom here and Richard Council from Florida here to talk about Tango Juno and this special event. So, Frank, let's start with Tango Juno. Tell me a little bit about the tango community here.
Well, a tango community is just an informal group of people that like to tango. So we gave ourselves that name in that we established a Facebook account. And so anybody wants information about Tango and Juno, you just go to Facebook, type in Tango Juno, and it's got the information there about this workshop and dances that we have on a weekly basis around town, and anything else you want to learn about tango.
Yeah, that sounds great. So you get together like on a weekly basis. Like there's an opportunity to dance.
Yeah, opportunity to dance. That's right. That's the most important thing when it comes to dance is being able to do it. So Thursday nights at Suite 907 usually is where we have a dance from 7 till 9.
That sounds great. And so Richard, you're the visiting instructor for the next two weekends.
Yes.
Be here for 2 weeks. You come up from Florida. This is your seventh time in Juno.
Seventh time here, yeah.
So you left sunny Florida for our let's say, cooler climb.
How could I not?
And let's talk about this Argentine Tango Workshop and what's going to happen and who you want to attend. Is it for beginners? Is it for advanced? Is it for...
This is designed for everybody. We've done this, like I said, this is our the seventh time we've done this, so we have quite a bit of return students who have some experience, but then we've also got people that show up who have never danced tango before. So what I try to do with each of the classes is present a concept, and then we can develop that concept from the ground up. So if you've never danced tango before, or you've never danced before even, then you will be able to get something out of it. And then let's say you've had a lot of experience, you've been dancing for years, you too will get something out of it.
And when you talk about concept, can you give me an example?
Well, concepts, tango is a language. So in many dances, you learn patterns and figures, and then you reproduce those figures on the dance floor, and you do them the same way with everybody that you dance with. But tango is about dialogue between partners. So you're learning this physical communication, and so just like when you're learning a language, you have to learn simple vocabulary, and then you develop its content, you know, it's syntax and making sure that things fit the way they need to fit. And then you can dance with anybody and have a totally different experience from one person to the next and from one song to the next.
Wow, that's really interesting. So is that unique to tango?
I don't know if it's unique to tango, but it's definitely it's a main attribute to tango.
Okay, that sounds really interesting. So for people who want to learn all about what's going on, the intro to Argentine tango, the advanced classes, the beginning classes, everything, because I'm looking at, I don't know, maybe 7 to 10 offerings. How do they find out about all the particulars?
Well, of course, just put this on the screen here. We got the brochure for the workshop right in front of us. But that would be on the Facebook page.
Okay.
All this information is on the Facebook page.
Great. So it starts... when does it start?
Tomorrow night.
Okay, so it starts tomorrow night at where?
At the Filipino Hall. The great group, the Filipinos, and they have a great little hall there, and it's down on South Franklin Street in the heart of downtown Juneau, and that's where we've had it for a good many years. It works real well.
And so it's 7 p.m. tomorrow night, and then there's three different classes going on Saturday, 10, 1, and 2:30, or
correct.
Is it something that you have to sign up for the whole workshop, or can you just do piecemeal?
Well, you don't have to. That's why what you'll find on the Facebook page when you go there, you can buy the whole thing, both weekends and a few intermittent classes in between, or one weekend, or you can pay on an individual class basis.
That sounds great. And then there's social dances. How do you pronounce it?
Milongas.
Milongas. Mm-hmm. And one's at Suite 907, and that's August 27th, and then one up at the Tram on September 3rd.
Yes.
That sounds great. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have to – I'll start with Richard, so our visiting instructor. When did it start? When did your interest in tango start?
For me, it started in 2001, and my partner at the time, the person I came up with here first, was looking for a partner for a show. And she saw that I could stand up straight and I had dark hair, and if I kept my mouth shut, I could look like an Argentinian on stage, and that was all that was needed. And she just asked me if I was interested in doing it, and I, of course. I mean, if you've ever had a chance to see performance tango, that's what draws a lot of people into it. And then I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with the music. I fell in love with the movement of it, the roles that each person has in the partnership. And then as I started to learn more about it, to see how the parallels work in, you know, from the philosophy of the dance to how it works in parallels in life and all these other things, and just the artistic expression of it and how much you learn about yourself.
That sounds great. And what about you, Frank?
Well, back in, I guess it'd be about 2000, about the same time period, I was up in Anchorage with my wife, and she was being certified in ballroom dance instruction, and at that time she was going to go down to Portland to one of these festivals, and I thought, well, I might as well go along, so I took a couple classes, and by golly, it turned out to be just about as much fun as hunting and fishing.
And you two met at a tango fest as well, is that correct?
Actually, I think I met Richard when he first came up here because mm-hmm. my wife was down there in Portland without me. I don't know how that worked out, but it worked out good in the end. So he came up here with his partner at the time and then just put on a heck of a good workshop for us, and he's just a great communicator. You know, lots of people know how to dance tango, but not that many people, like in so many disciplines, know how to teach it and communicate it. And that's what we really like about Richard. He's a great communicator.
That sounds great. Yeah, I love the way you describe tango. And before I let you go, just one more question, and this is one of those, you know, I can't believe I'm going to ask this, but I am.
Here it comes.
So Argentine tango, is there other tangos besides Argentine?
There are other tangos. There's you have ballroom tango, and even within that you have different styles. But this is what all of them came from. This is the authentic style of tango, and it's not the tango that you see where the heads are flicking around and everybody's dancing in their tail suits and ball gowns and that sort of thing. This is a much more of the people sort of approach to dance, and it's not really designed for everyone to be impressed by what you're doing. It's more that you create that connection with your partner, and then you explore that, and then after those few songs are over, then you escort the lady back to her chair and you go find another one and dance with her. And
so it might not be what people like, if people are listening and they're having this idea of what a tango workshop might be, it's not that stereotypical, like, we of course don't know what everyone's thinking right now, but it seems to be much more fluid and much more accessible than,
it's much more,
you know, you're going to go there and you're going to stomp your heels and you're going to flick across the room and be graceful at it.
Right. It's not Dancing with the Stars. Okay. And that's what a lot of people tend to think of, is they have to learn how to do Cirque du Soleil on the floor and all these things. But no, it's just be able to move around on the floor comfortably and just have a great time with no stress.
That sounds great. So if you want to find out more, it's on Facebook, Juno Tango. Check it out. It happens tomorrow night and throughout the weekend, and then next weekend as well, and actually a Tuesday, Thursday class thrown in for good measure. Richard Council's here for 2 weeks. Take advantage of it if you can, and thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Thank you. This is Bird Note. Some birds are now so rare, you can find them in only a few places in the entire country. Paul Davis owns 1,500 acres in central Texas that he manages not for cattle, but as habitat for warblers and vireos. He's controlling parasitic cowbirds and feral pigs and preserving stands of native juniper.
My place in the hill country is just natural that I take care of it. We have two birds down there that are very, very localized, a bird called the golden cheek warbler. And that's probably the only area in the United States to see that bird. And then another bird is a little bird called the black-capped vireo. And it has a little larger range, but still that's what the hill country is famous for, is those two birds. The main thing that I can do is not chop down any more juniper. That's a big deal in that part of the world, is clearing the land. So if you take the juniper down, you could run more cattle or whatever on the land. Well, I can't say that I'm doing anything. It's that I'm not doing anything. I just think that's the way the land ought to be. That's the way it was a long time ago. And I'm going to do my best to keep it that way.
Do you know someone like Paul Davis who's made a choice to favor birds? Tell us at birdnote.org.
What we most often hear is bad news about our teens. That alters what we know is true. Most Alaska teenagers are doing positive things. They're volunteers, role models, and much more. Spirit of Youth tells these stories.
We're basically selling breakfast products and treats for students of KCC.
Seth Zapuase is scurrying around behind the makeshift counter of the Second to None Cafe, which is conveniently located in the hallway where students enter school each morning. Hungry teenagers file by, some buying a muffin or a hot chocolate in that moment, and others placing orders for in-class delivery.
We got more orders today.
Everybody's trying to get in the last minute?
Yep, because everything's half off.
After the morning rush, Cephas and his cafe colleagues break down their hallway storefront and move operations to a pair of classrooms. For the next hour, they fulfill orders and make deliveries. Ray Voley is the entrepreneurial and enterprise teacher at Anchorage's King Career Center.
I guess what really impressed me about him is he's from Nigeria, and he mentioned he comes from a society where being in the medical field is highly valued, and so entrepreneurship isn't necessarily a field that's looked on with a lot of a high regard. He was happy to come to this class and to America because he got to really pursue his passion, which is business. He's probably the most mature with it 15-year-old I've ever met.
Cephas's family has a history of operating small businesses since coming to America. He says he plans to follow that path himself.
I like to work hard. To me, I just think working hard is the only way to success.
Among his goals, says Cephas, is to run a hospitality business that in some way includes making customers happy by serving them great food. I'm Shanna Sheehy.
You know of a teenager making a difference where you live? Take some time right now to nominate them for Spirit of Youth. Get more information at spiritofyouth.org.
Listen to this story again at spiritofyouth.org.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon. It's 25 minutes to the hour. Next, we're going to listen to Jake Shimabukuro. He is the ukulele player who comes up to Juno quite often. There, he's got a new CD. It's called Nashville Sessions, and here's a cut from this new CD.
Hi, this is Julie from Juno Park and Rec's Diamond Park Aquatic Center, located at 3045 Diamond Park Loop. Featuring an 8-lane lap pool, 2 water slides, a large recreation pool, hot tub, dry sauna, and fitness equipment, Diamond Park pools are open 7 days a week for aquatic fitness and fun. For more information and the current swim schedule of events, visit www.juno.org/parkrec/diamondpark or give us a call at 586-2782.
Our first speaker this evening is Lexi Lodwig. Lexi has lived in Juneau for 3 years and helps facilitate the coffee fix of thousands every day. Despite her position at Heritage Coffee, she's the only employee to ever be banned from caffeinated drinks in the history of the company. Her stories of misfortune have entertained millions following the launch of her first children's book, How to Avoid Schoolyard Beatings, The Tale of a Cross-Eyed Child. Please take this time to switch your phones to the on position and entertain yourself until this thing is over. Please welcome Lexi.
Well, hello, welcome. So weather or not is the topic this evening, and I am going to tell you guys a story of a weather encounter that I had. But I also need to tell you guys 2 little minor backstories to make my story make sense. So it's November, it's Thanksgiving, my landlords are out of town, and my landlords are really great. I live in like their little mother-in-law detached house behind their house, and whenever they leave, I watch their dog. His name is Thug, which he's not a thug at all. And he's 14, and they're the kind of people that are like, they're really cool, so anytime they leave him with me, they're like, if he dies, it's okay. And I'm like, oh, that's really comforting, thank you. So their dog is super nervous because they've been gone for 12 days or something, and he has had explosive diarrhea in my house, like, several times, including on Thanksgiving itself. So it's just been a mess since he's been there. And then the second story that I have to tell you is that I do not do Christmas. I am not a Christmas person. Like, I don't know. But my boyfriend, this was our first Christmas together, and he is Christmas crazy. So he, at the day after Thanksgiving, he was like, we need to go get a Christmas tree. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, for your house, cool. So we get to Home Depot, and he's like, I was like, oh, what size are you going to go with? And he's like, what size do you think you want in your house? And I was like, my house? Oh, we're putting a tree in my house. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, mountain, molehill, mountain. Okay, this is probably a molehill. Okay. So we get the tree. And when we get home, I don't know anything about Christmas trees because my mom has always had a fake tree. And so you know how it's like in its little cocoon that they put it in? And he is on the front porch cutting the cocoon off, and he's explaining to me that you need to shake the tree out before you bring it in your house, which, I don't know, I still had to vacuum every single day, so I don't think that's true. And so the tree has been shook out over my porch. Real story. Monday, windstorm, Douglas Island, and I'm alone, and I have the 2 dogs, and I've had a very long Thanksgiving. Now I have this, like, emotional anxiety of this tree in my house, and this dog has been pooping everywhere. So I was like, I am going to get in the hot tub. I don't care if it is a windstorm. I'm going to get in. So I grabbed 2 ciders out of my fridge, and I put on my little kini, and I get out, and I get in the hot tub, and I am in there for... I've drank both my ciders because, you know, like when half of you is cold and like half of you is hot, you're like, I need to drink faster. So I've drank both my ciders in, I'm going to say, about 13 minutes. And I hear the dogs barking. And I don't know if anybody here has had a diuretic dog, but if that dog makes a noise, you are like, you want to go outside? You want to go outside right now, don't you? So I... In my state, it's a windstorm, so it's not pleasant. I'm like this with my cider. And so I get out and I run up my little porch, and my porch is about 4 feet high, and I hit it barefoot, and I slip and I fall backwards, like completely on my back. My porch is not fun to fall off. It's like 4 feet, and it's at like this incline. And so I'm laying there on my back, and I can't commit to like somersaulting backwards. I can't commit to it because I'm too old. Like 25 is too old to somersault. And so I do the, like, turtle, like, rollover thing. And so, and I'm pissed, because when you're 25 and you fall, like, it's not funny anymore. It just, you're upset. And so I get to, like, that weird, like, push-up position, and I realize that I am covered in Christmas tree. From head to toe. This is exactly where he shook it out. So at this point, I get up to my house, and I let the dogs out, and I'm, you know, upset. And my dog, Lola, who's a complete jerk, takes off after what I call Sporty Juno Night Jogger. And mind you, he is wearing a headlamp because it is night. And so I do what anybody in my position would do. I take off after my dog in a bikini. It's November. It's a windstorm, pouring down rain. I've been drinking. So, you know, and I'm like a crazy person, like, and so we get down to Sporty Juno Night Jogger, and, you know, we've all been there, like, anybody who has a dog, they totally know that when somebody else's dog is running to you, you're like, oh yeah, I'm a dog person, everybody, all dogs love me, and then the dog gets to you, and you're like, and they're like, no. So you're like, psych, so you do like that weird, awkward, like, oh, your dog is here, but I'm trying to be, like, I'm trying to catch it for you, but I can't. And so Sporty Junior Night Jogger is, like, down on Lola, and I, like, am pitter-pattering with my bare feet, and I get to her, and I snatch her up, and Sporty Junior Night Jogger's headlamp is directly on my bare feet. And he starts to do the very slow, I think it was a little too slow, overall this, which probably was a lot more like a Loch Ness Monster. And did I mention that this was 4 days after Thanksgiving? And ladies, you know what that means. So, Sporty Junior Night Jogger does this very, like, slow, and I am standing there with my dog, and I am doing the, what? So I do what anybody in my position would do. I just turned on my heel and walked away with my dog with my head held high. And I have not seen this man since. So, Sporty Juno Night Jogger, I am sorry. But also, you're welcome, because that is the best running story you ever got. Thank you so much for everybody showing up.
That was an excerpt of a recent Mudrooms. Mudrooms is a storytelling event that happens monthly during the full winter and spring. And tonight at 7 o'clock, there will be a special re-airing of the most recent Mudrooms. It will be 7 specially selected stories and storytellers from among the many themes of the event's first 5 years. So I'm wrong. It's not the most recent one. It's a compilation of the best of. That should be fun. 7 o'clock on KTOO, brought to you by Mudroom Storyboard and your very own local radio station. So here we are. We're with Megan Garrison in the studio with Jeff and myself to talk about Arts Up.
Hi, Megan. How's it going?
Good. So it's, you know, August in Juneau. It gets pretty busy in the art scene.
Huh? It does. It's typically kind of the opening month, August and September, for a lot of the nonprofit arts organizations that are doing performance events. So our ticketing system is getting all booked up. We're excited to have a whole suite of things that you can buy tickets for at the Jack, Hearthside Books, and online.
Sounds great. So what's cooking this weekend?
Well, this weekend is actually kind of slow, but we do have Food Fest on Saturday, and I think my coworker Rachel will be in tomorrow to talk a little bit more about that. But it's 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, and it's free and open to the public. There's lots of great vendors signed up, so put that on your weekend schedule. It is the second week, I believe, of Peter and the Starcatcher running.
Oh, we're at Perseverance Theater.
Mm-hmm. And Friday, I think, they're doing brews and Peter and the Starcatcher night.
I think it is. I think there is Beer Friday over there.
Yeah, Beer Friday.
That sounds great. So that's tomorrow over at the theater.
Yep.
And they play all through the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Monday, and Sunday, I would assume.
And you just need a ticket in order to get into the brews. You don't have to pay anything extra, I believe.
Sounds good.
Just kind of a special perk.
Sounds good. And then there's the Tango Workshop.
We spoke to the guys from the Tango Workshop on Friday.
That sounds great, all through the weekend.
And that's at the Filipino Community Center.
Correct.
And then we've got folk dance, speaking of dancing, on Sunday from 6 to 8 at the Alaska Club downtown. And don't forget, if you've got visitors in town or are just curious about art around town, we run our art walk Sunday through Wednesday every day at 1 p.m. And you meet at the JCBB kiosk. And there's a special radio discount. So I'll give you 50% off if you tell them you heard about it on the radio.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Oh, great. So that's a good thing for locals to check out, because that's kind of a – did that start this year or last
year? We started
year?
It this summer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And we do have the maps if you want to just guide yourself. They're here at the Jack, and they're really fun, and they've got murals, totems, any kind of public art, and also notable murals inside places, like the one at the Taqueria and the one at the Triangle Club.
All cool.
That, it's all there.
Cool. All righty. And then what's going on over at the Jack as far as the season? Who do you have? Who's the first act that the Jack is bringing in?
Well, we have a special event. It's actually not part of our season events because it's booked a little bit differently. But renowned Grammy-winning artist Modest Yahoo is going to be here on September 23rd. And that'll be at Centennial Hall. We are selling tickets now. There should be posters running around, and you can find out all about it online if you forget a little bit what I'm talking about now. But this is produced in collaboration with KTOO, KRNN, and KXLL, so we thank you guys very much for your partnership in helping this get off the ground. We're so excited to have him here.
Yeah, what kind of artist is he?
He is he's hard to describe because he's a real mix of everything, but that's what makes him so approachable and likable, I think, in the music industry. He is an alternative rock musician, beatboxer, reggae influence, hip-hop, and soul. So King Without a Crown and One Day are probably his most famous songs. If you YouTube those, you'll recognize it. He's been popular for the last 10, 15 years, but he's kind of reemerging with a new acoustic album that's been really popular.
Cool. I got to check it out. Sounds great. I know my friends are buying up tickets like mad. So
they are.
The
They're selling out.
The
We're getting towards the lower end, so please get online or call us. We can always save you an online processing fee if you call us on the phone.
That sounds good. Oh, you could do it on the phone?
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, we can run your credit card over the phone and get your tickets. And for this one, it doesn't matter because it's not reserve seating. Sometimes people want to pick their exact spot, but it's just going to be open seating for Modest Yahoo. So give us a ring.
And what's going on up at the tram this weekend?
Looks like lots of stuff. We've got ukuleles, an annual concert showcasing Juno's local talent. So we've got Quattro Quattro is four players with ukuleles. Know When to Quit is an auto harp that blends with acoustic guitar. And Guy Unzicker is one guy, one guitar. Lots of people know Guy. Laura Zahasky is always a crowd pleaser. And the Taku Gales is a unique family spot. Mike Truot, gosh, I don't know if I'm saying that one right, but Truex. Thank you, Jess. he's always got some good songs. Riley Woodford on guitar, Paul Zahasky, Paul's the pappy of our Music on the Mountain is what it says on this paper
here.
So
it's Music on the Mountain event up at the train. What time does that start?
That starts from 5 to 9, August 27th.
Okay. And then also, June and Lyric Opera, they have their big fundraiser coming up, their
they
Diva
do.
Night, right?
That's Who's Your Diva is happening. I should have it in my brain.
I think it's the 24th.
It's the 24th. So Modest Yahoo's the 23rd, and then the 24th is Who's Your Diva, and that's at the Jack. And we are selling tickets to that right now.
And that those typically are going sells quick. Out, too. Right?
Yeah, they do. They always sell that one out. There's some really good divas lined up and some new ones, too, which is always fun.
New divas, that's good.
We need more divas, always.
Juno needs more divas. And speaking of that, Gigi Monroe's going to be the MC, right?
Yes.
So
the divas, the diva-ist of all the divas.
the diva of all divas. Yeah, it's great to have her here. Really
it's wonderful.
All right, well, thanks for dropping by today
to give us
Arts Up. And you can, of course, check it all out on the calendar, either at the KTOO calendar or at the JAHC calendar to find out what's going on in our city.
We've got it all, and we do a little weekly summary called Arts Up
we also label the paper that way as well. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get that mailed to you, just let us know. Give us a call at 586-2787. We'll email it out.
That sounds great. All right. Well, thanks for coming by. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back. You've been listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. It's 5 minutes to the hour. Jeff Brown is at the board. He is the producer and engineer of Juno Afternoon. If you ever want to catch up for something you might have missed, you could just check it out online at ktoo.org. As far as the weather, it is now 56 at the airport, 57 downtown, 52 in the valley, and 56 in Douglas. It's going to be raining tonight, low in the mid-50s, east winds to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow will be rain, high in the mid-60s. Tomorrow night will be scattered rain, and Saturday is sunny, high in the mid-70s. Okay, sounds pretty good. Saturday night is mostly clear, lows around 50. Okay, tomorrow, tune in to Juno Afternoon. We'll be learning about a fundraiser for Girls on the Run, about more information about Saturday's food fest that's going to happen at the Jack, and then a little bit about Sunday's Blue Mass, and also about upcoming Cub Scout activities. That, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more, always Juno Afternoon, every day at 3 p.m. at KTOO. Thanks for joining us.